everyone. It's Gina Gardner here from Genuinely You, and I am delighted today to introduce to you Louise Havers. I met her a few months ago and we had a conversation, and I was blown away by her work and by her. And so I've asked her to come on to do an interview with me so that you can share in her amazing work and the lovely person that she is. Now, I'm going to read her bio because I don't want to miss anything out, so forgive me if I'm actually reading. Louise Havers is one of the first 22 energy alignment method mentors in the world. An advanced pranic healer, an advanced Akashic record consultant, and an international life and business coach. Louise has served over 5,000 people across Northern America and Canada, Europe and Eurasia, empowering them to make life-changing transformations so that they love the life that they live. Louise left her senior manager role in social services to reinvent herself as an entrepreneur, running a successful network marketing business and international life and business coaching business. Louise works very intuitively and combines her knowledge of energy psychology, executive leadership expertise, and business mentoring to support your transformation and reconnection with yourself and clarity about your life purpose so you can reach your full potential with fulfillment, love, and connected to your inner guidance. Now, that is so in line with what we are attempting to do in through Genuinely You that I couldn't help but have you as a guest on the show. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, pleasure. Now, the theme is following your heart and living as the best version of yourself. For me, that's being your genuine self, stepping into your power. But before we go into more details about your work, I'd love it if you could share some of your story with our listeners and viewers so that they get a real flavour of who you are.
Of course. Well, you alluded to a key part of it, that I used to be a senior manager in social services, and I was working there for, by the time I left, I'd done a 13-year term. And during that period of time, had managed many services, developed many services, and really was doing that thing about what success had been looked like and programmed into me from when I was at school. You know, you go to work, you go to university, you go to work, you climb the corporate ladder, and you're going to feel amazing. And then when you retire, that's when you can do all the lovely things that you want to do. And when my father died in 2004, he died after a period of ill health. So he was actually ill health retired. And my sister was still at university. So he was in that space of feeling like he had to work to, you know, provide for his family and enable us all to have the lifestyle we wanted, which obviously we're all very grateful for. But what it meant was that he sacrificed his true self as an artist and a painter. And he always used to say to me, I can't wait until I retire because I'm going to go on my painting holidays again and I'm going to, you know, have exhibitions. And this was his real passion. And of course, he wasn't able to do that. He had one exhibition about 6 months before he died, and he managed to, and that was a real struggle for him to get it out, as it were, rather than it being this, you know, having rolling exhibitions and just being able to really follow his passion. And that was a key turning point for me when I realized, hang on, I'm heading down the same path. And I really started to question, what was my true passion? Did I actually even know what my passion was? Because I had suppressed it through the mask of busyness, as I call it, being busy being a mum, being busy at work, and really putting myself on the back burner rather than following my heart and ignoring my intuition and that little voice inside me saying that actually there was more to life, and the pull and the desire to follow that just got stronger and stronger. And as I see with so many people, actually it resulted in a period of my own ill health, that really made me go, hang on a second, I've got to do this now, even though I'm absolutely terrified. But I need to really, what do I want my legacy to be for my life? How do I really want to spend it and live it? And I really started questioning that. And I realized, as much as I was grateful that I was able to make an impact in social services, the energy was wrong for me.
Yeah.
And I really started to feel that and to notice that I wanted to leave. So I put my big girl pants on and started training and really getting myself into alignment with leaving and taking the next step so that I could become an entrepreneur and really spend my time doing things that I really wanted to do, which was, I loved coaching people, helping people to live their full potential. I thought, I've really got to take my own coaching and to do what I really truly want to do, as terrifying as it was at that time.
I think your story mirrors the story for so many people, particularly these days. I think the level of people who are unhappy in doing what they're doing, but get caught in that trap with, how will I pay the mortgage? How will I do this? And what will people think? And all of those things. And it is a leap of faith, isn't it?
Oh, massively. And you're really demanding more of yourself, because yeah. You can just stay where you know, like in my role in social services, I've been there for 13 years. So I had the credibility. You can kind of rock up at a meeting. Everyone knows you. There's a real comfort in that. You're not really stretching yourself. But when you leave a corporate environment and you go and set up as self-employed, one of the things that I noticed was, like, I didn't have a department anymore. So actually, I had to do everything. And so it really is requiring more of yourself.
It comes as a shock, doesn't it? And it's me, myself, personally. I can't send it to my secretary or to the IT person. And yeah, I that really resonates. I'm interested, if I may, I'm going to ask a series of questions, because I think for people who may be considering this, it will be helpful to unpick. So my first question to you is, how did you know what your purpose was, what your passion was? Because so many people know what it isn't, but find it very difficult to know what it is.
Yeah. So, well, obviously, through coaching people at work, I realized what I started doing was helping people find their purpose. And it was helping them to find what lit them up in their work and also in their personal life. So asking them to think about, and this is quite a quick exercise you can do with people, is just, you know, think about three things where you lost track of time, you absolutely loved what you're doing, you were flying, it felt really, really easy. And it can be in work or, you know, in something that you achieved at home, something where you were really successful at it. And people can pick out the themes about what they love doing. And through that, I did that myself. And I realized that the theme throughout my life has been listening and managing change, or helping people to change. So I started to really tune into that, because that's what lights me up, is seeing people flourish.
Yeah.
And so once I had those elements, I was able to start to dare to think that I could create a business from that. Does that make sense?
It does. So on to the next thing then. You've identified what lights you up, what your passion is. But the mechanics of moving from a salaried job, which is incredibly secure, into becoming an entrepreneur. I know that many people think that they've got to go stop one and start the other. And that's not only particularly scary for some, but quite risky financially, particularly. Could you share with us, you know, your approach to how you moved from one world to the next?
Yeah, absolutely. So we had actually in social services had pay freezes for 8 years or something crazy like that. And so I was looking for a way to increase my income as a first step. I knew I didn't want to get a promotion, because it kind of wasn't really worth it in terms of the additional stress and financially after the pay scale between my grade and the next grade up wasn't, you know, significant enough to warrant that. And so I was looking outside, and that's when I started my network marketing business, because it was something I could fit in alongside everything else that I was doing. And so I started to grow this income stream. And I guess what I love about the network marketing business model, it's like being, I've heard it described as being an entrepreneur, because you're stepping into being self-employed, but within the safety of an organization, if that makes sense. So the training that you get is phenomenal for being an entrepreneur. So I started to experience that alongside working as an employee still. And then within a year, I'd given myself the pay rise I needed, and it started to make me realize, actually, if I reduce my hours at work, I can start to grow this income over here more. And then I've got a buffer and something that when I leave job, I know I've got an additional income stream that I can lean on straight away. Does that make sense?
It makes huge sense. I find it interesting that people tend to see these situations in black and white. It's this or it's that. When actually, you know, a tabby cat grey, where you transition and you give yourself that opportunity. I mean, one of the pieces of advice, I don't know if it's something you agree with, that, you know, people doing things on the side, but actually bank that money so that that money becomes your pot in order to live when you finally make that transition from full-time, part-time to, right, I'm now going to be a full-time entrepreneur. I've got a bit of a buffer.
Oh, I completely agree, because I think that there's nothing more frightening when you've got responsibilities, a family to take care of not having an income stream. And particularly if you're used to a certain level of success and a certain level of income coming in, unless you make major changes, your whole lifestyle is going to carry on expecting that income to come in. And so whatever you can do to support yourself whilst you're making that transition, particularly financially, is so important. And if that means it's delaying the final move for a year, then that's fantastic, because you know that you'll be able to actually leave your employment in a better place because you've got this buffer.
Yeah. And also from one's point of view, if you've been doing it and you've done consistently grown how much time you spend doing it, by the end of that year you've got a pretty good idea that, yeah, this is my passion, this is my true purpose. Because it's very easy in the early days to have an enthusiasm, isn't it, that actually isn't the thing. It's a thing, but it's not the thing.
I completely get that, because I think also if you're leaving in a space where you're feeling burnt out and exhausted, it's like that grass is greener. And then, like we know, building a business, the line to success isn't a straight gradient in terms of there are going to be, you know, business seasons and cycles, learning curves, etc., etc. And so it may take time, and it might take you a little bit longer to get to where you want to get to.
Now, what I'd like us to explore, if we may, is, I mean, you were working network marketing, which for most people that sounds fairly, when I say ordinary, it's worldly. Mm-hmm. How did you get into this, the energetic, the Akashic Records? I mean, some of our listeners may not be familiar with some of these terms that are part of your bio. Do you think, you know, share with us what they are, so that people have an inkling? Some of the listeners and viewers may be very familiar, but others not.
So it's absolutely, and I recognize now, you know, the little sort of jigsaw puzzle, how it starts to come together when you look back on your life. So one of the things that I didn't know at the time was, I would say I'm an empath, I'm sensitive, I feel people's energy, but I didn't always have that language whilst I was working in social services. So, you know, I would be affected by the, you know, I used to chair domestic abuse meetings, sexual abuse board meetings, etc. So we'd be talking about serious stuff, and it would energetically affect me, but everyone else seemed to be like fine, and I'd be thinking, what is going on, what's wrong with me? And then through my network marketing business and my passion really amping up for personal development, I was introduced to pranic healing. So that was like my gateway into the energy world. And I remember having my first experience of it. And pranic healing, for people that aren't familiar with it, I like, it's like Reiki in terms of it's a non-touch healing therapy where the therapist is working on your chakras and your the different layers of your aura to improve your, you know, well-being. And you can have amazing treatments, and it's a very, very powerful technique. And I remember having my first technique, and this Tara, I'm forever grateful for her. She gave me like a 10-minute taster session, and I closed my eyes. She did it. And I remember thinking, oh, I can feel her. She's like, she's touching my shoulder here. I could feel her doing something over here. And so then afterwards, she said, how are you? You know, and I said, oh, it was amazing. She said, you know, I could feel you when you came over and touched my shoulder here. And she said, I didn't move, but you felt me because I was working. You had a hole in your aura here. And I was just like, what? Because I could feel it, and I felt so different afterwards. I was like, I have to know more. So I booked in immediately to do the training. Didn't wait for, you know, anything else, just went straight in to do the training. Was absolutely blown away and really felt at home. And it was like that next level of being able to help my, you know, in terms of my own development and helping other people. So it literally snowballed from there, from pranic healing to the energy alignment method. And then it really felt like, and because I got better and better at following my heart, and my intuition, the Akashic records just kept coming in, and I kept wanting to find out more about it. So I was actively looking for a coach that could coach me to develop my skills in it. And of course, the universe presented the coach for me. And so then I trained in Akashic record reading, you know, both for myself and for others as well. And that's when you're reading someone else's soul, their records, in terms of, and speaking with their spirit guides and their record keepers. Is that enough kind of context for your...
Certainly for the pranic healing, yes. But in terms of Akashic records, it would be just take a step back. Somebody who knows nothing about energy work, what are Akashic records, and how do what's their impact on us as human beings?
So there's two things I would say that can help people get their head around something that can sound really like, what on earth is this? So the way to describe it in our human mind is to imagine that we all have a book of life, and those are the Akashic records. So every soul has a book, and all your experiences, past, present, and future are recorded in this book. And of course, we have individual choice, and every thought and emotion and belief and experience is impacting into the energy of the Akasha and the Akashic records for our individual soul. And our soul blueprint. So when we're opening the Akashic records, if you imagine you're opening up this book and you're asking for information around your soul purpose, next steps in your business, whatever it might be, because of course you can ask so many questions, you are given that information, and we describe it as being given that information from your Akashic record keepers. So when I'm working with someone, I'm opening up their book and speaking with their record keepers and their guides. And their guides and record keepers, or all our guides and record keepers, are sitting in that above the seventh chakra between. So you've got the up to the 12th chakra and the 12 layers of the aura. So they're hanging out. Most people know about the, you know, the seven main chakras and the seven layers of the aura, but there are many more. And so when you're working with that energetic frequency, you're working above the seventh chakra. So 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. And they hang around there, for want of a better phrase. And what I found is when you're working at that energy frequency, it's so powerful. People make shifts so fast. And it's a real honor to work with people in that way, because of course, you are working with, it's like their personal diary.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I think so. I mean, if people wanted to find out more about any of your work, where would they go to find that?
Sure, of course. So I've got a website, which is www.louisahavers.com. I've got some information there around the energy alignment method, pranic healing, and the Akashic records as well. So lots of very detailed information there to help people get their heads around it. And then also the different ways that people can work with me.
I wonder whether you could perhaps give us an example of, without breaking any confidences, but an example of how working with either the energetic work or the Akashic records, how specifically that has helped somebody. Because again, if you're not aware of it, it's quite hard to think, well, you know, what's its relevance to me and how could it help me? So if you could tell us, you know, an example or two of how you've used it and the impact that's had on somebody else's way of being, really.
Well, if I think of an example from a couple of weeks ago, which was a public example, in that I did it in I do a free energetic self-mastery workshop once every couple of months, and I invite members to enter a draw to have a hot seat with me. So it's recorded live and we do it in my Facebook group. And the lady that I work with wanted to increase the number of clients that she was having, to also increase her price point, because she was really wrestling in her mind about how she was going to charge people. She was an acupuncturist and she felt like she had to do what everyone else was doing, mm-hmm. and not to ask people to pay up front, etc. So I used with her the energy alignment method, which is a technique where essentially you're using your body as a dowsing device to find out. So it's like a muscle test. You can find out what thoughts and emotions and beliefs are holding you back. And then using a technique of a releasing statement and an alignment statement, you're clearing the thoughts and beliefs that aren't serving you. So you're creating new neural pathways in the brain. Once that's gone, because we can muscle test it, we then imprint onto your energy field. So if you think of your aura holding every thought, emotion, and belief within it, so that's like your human Wi-Fi, as I call it. So we imprint onto your human Wi-Fi the thought or the emotion and belief that's actually going to be more helpful and serve you. So with this wonderful lady who is a friend and a client, we cleared her resistance to increasing her prices and to selling packages, because she knew that that was in higher service to her clients, but she was really afraid that she was going to not have any clients if she started saying you have to have what you have to have. But, you know, actually I would recommend 3 sessions as a package to meet your needs, not pay as you go, you know, one by one, because people weren't turning up, except, and of course that's got a huge impact on her business. So we did the work, we aligned her, we did a huge energy shift with her. And the next day she had 3 new clients.
Fabulous.
And she'd had a real lull. Yes. So she was like, I'm desperate.
So yeah. If you talk about muscle testing, do they need to be physically with you or can you do this remotely?
I do the predominantly all remotely. So like we're chatting through Zoom.
Yes.
Because I get people to, it's called the sway technique. It comes from kinesiology. And so you literally get people to stand up, and then they ask their energy field a question, and their body will go forward on a yes mainly, and backwards for a no. So once people have got to know how their energy responds to yes and no questions, and we do that with things that they know. So you say your name, because you're not going to argue with that. And your age, so you get confident with, oh, this feels really weird. And I love doing it with people for the first time, because they're a bit like, what just happened? Why did my body move? Because you can start to feel the energy coming out from your heart center, your heart chakra, when it's a yes. And then also at the back between your shoulder blades, at your back heart chakra, when it's a no. You can literally feel the magnetic pull when you're in the right position. So once they're confident with that, then we can start to say, you know, and find out what is the belief that's holding them back. And so often it can, people think it will be X, Y, and Z belief, because that's the story that's been acceptable to tell them in their mind. So they're conscious mind, but of course there's the whole subconscious stuff going on that they might not even be aware of. And that's where I really find is like, that is, you're hacking your subconscious and your energy field to be able to, you know, dig deep and find the thing that you're blocking from yourself, your blind spot, if you like, so that you can get rid of it, get yourself in alignment, so that you're confidently taking action, not procrastinating or creating distractions or situations that are then going to take you back.
I'm going to have a bit of that. I'm going to talk to you after this interview because it sounds just amazing. I'd like to ask you, who's your ideal client?
So I'd say my ideal client is a professional or an entrepreneur. I work with both men and women aged 40 plus who are looking to leave the burnout and overwhelm behind and to have more fulfillment in their life and to increase their performance and magnetism in both their personal life and their business. I love seeing people shine and flourish.
Brilliant. Sam, and you can see in your face that that's the case. Okay, what's been your biggest life lesson?
Oh, wow. Well, we've been talking about following your heart, and I think that really has been for me is listening to my intuition. And I don't know if this resonates with anybody, but you know when you have that, your intuition says, do this, you immediately get that response. And then if you hesitate, then the head comes in, the ego comes in. And in my energy field, my ego is a lot louder than my intuition. So I think that's been my biggest life lesson is to follow my heart, the soft inner voice of my heart, because it's always right. And whether that's been, I've gone for a job that wasn't right for me and I didn't listen to my heart, or discovering, you know, I'm spending time with people that I'm just, you know, in the past, I used to be very polite because I've been brought up to be polite. Yeah, and, yes. You know, working with, spending time with work colleagues, it made me feel really uneasy, and just ignoring it rather than having those healthy boundaries around me and honoring my heart. So I think for me, that's been my biggest life lesson, is to have and honor my boundaries and following my intuition.
I think, you know, what you say about your ego being loud, I mean, not only have we got our own egos being loud, I think we live in a world that's just full of white noise. And how do you, you know, you find that quiet space, and I don't necessarily mean physically quiet, although it might very well mean that, in order to give the message that's coming from your heart an opportunity to speak and be heard.
Yes, and I think that's one of the major benefits of doing the energy alignment method that I see with my clients when they've been working with me for a long period of time, is they get more and more confident in following their heart and their intuition.
Yes.
Because it really teaches you to tap in to what's going on in your energy field, despite what this is saying, because you're really muscle testing for it. And it's like, oh, okay, that's saying something different. Yeah. Yes, if I actually really go in, I think I knew that, but I was just masking it.
Yes, I think it's an incredible skill, attribute. I'm not quite sure where it lies, but I think particularly in today's world, when there are so many calls upon our time and we're so hooked on our electronics, that actually taking that space to get off the world and to be able to listen is incredibly important. And interesting, in the new Enlightened Leadership Program, we've got a whole unit on intuition and what is it and how do you develop it. And I shall be putting you know, your details at the end of that to say, you know, if you want somebody to help you along the way with that, I know just the person.
Oh, thank you.
So tell me, what is it that you can offer people and, you know, let people know how they can access that?
So I'd love to invite listeners to have a complimentary alignment assessment with me so we can find out, you know, what's going on for you, where are you now, where is the misalignment, so that we can give you some initial steps to bring you into alignment with your future self. So people can either reach out to me on my website, www.louisahavers.com, or via email at louisa@louisahavers.com. And if they just put alignment assessment call in the email subject line, then I'll know, and they say that they've come from you, then I'll know where they've come from, because this isn't available on my website.
And we'll make sure that those details are in the comment box so that people can have access to those. I've got to draw our conversation to a close. I could talk to you all day. It's just a delight. Thank you. And, I, you know, for those people who Many people will accept what you're talking about in energy work without any issues at all, and others will think, oh, that feels a bit wiki-woo and pink and fluffy. I'd say to those people, how many times have you had that feeling in your gut that something's not quite right, or actually need to do that? And when you've ignored it, what's happened? And when you've taken note of it, what's happened? Because there is plenty of proof. I mean, Warren Buffett, the guy who owns Virgin, talk about how they use their intuition. They use that sense of inner knowing, even if it's to know, have I got enough data to make that decision? And so I would urge you all, even if it's not something you've done before, don't knock it till you try it. It's been an absolute delight to have you on our interview. Thank you so much. And I look forward to perhaps inviting you back again to look at things in more detail in the future. But thank you very much. And thank you for listening. Love to know your comments. Put them in the Genuinely You group or in the LinkedIn group and the Enlightened Leadership group. And I look forward to speaking to you and seeing you the next time. But thanks very much indeed.
If you're a businesswoman who is overwhelmed or suffering from imposter syndrome, who is tired of having one disastrous relationship after another, or who finds it hard just to say no, well, it's time to take care of you. You get the best out of life by contacting Gina Gardner, relationship coach and best-selling author and motivational speaker. Just visit genuinely-you.com, or you can email Gina directly at gina@genuinely-you.com. Take action now. Start to thrive rather than simply survive. Imagine being a highly successful, enlightened leader who is in complete alignment with your best self, who makes a positive difference on a daily basis. Let me introduce Gina Gardner, an expert in developing transformational leadership with over 30 years of experience. Gina has developed a unique and unrivaled approach to help you step into your genuine power to become an enlightened leader. And when you do, amazing things happen. Go to enlightenedleadership.co or email Gina at gina@genuinely-you.com.
Hello there, and welcome to our Genuine Chats. The second half of the show is always a chat with myself and my good friend Rachel Davidson.
Hello.
Today we're going to be talking about dreams. And not in the sense of interpreting the dreams that you have night by night, but why do we have dreams and aspirations, and what's their purpose? Why is it so important? And how can you utilise those dreams and aspirations to help you create a better quality of life? Mm-hmm. Not bad for a 20-minute slot.
Yeah. As Martin Luther King says, you've got to have a dream. I'm misquoting him.
Yes. I have a dream today. Okay. All of us have dreams and aspirations at some point, but very often those dreams are quashed by other people saying, don't be silly. Mm. Yeah, that's not possible. It's my belief that when we have a dream, something to aspire to, something to move towards, that acts as a motivation. That keeps us going when life gets tricky. And it can be a real force for positivity in your life. But I think there are times when understanding why those dreams are important is vital. Because just having a dream that is sort of an empty wish, you know, my dream is to have a big new car or a great job, or my dream is to become a pop star, in and of itself isn't going to be the motivator that understanding why that's so important to you will be. So what are your dreams? Do you allow yourself to dream? Do you give yourself the gift of having dreams and aspirations? You get what you focus on. So if you focus on the lack in your life and all of the things that are difficult, those things appear to grow. If you focus on your dreams and why that is important, then it's so much easier to plan your journey to get there. And even if you don't quite get there, you will have moved forward. And being in movement forward is so important for us as human beings.
I really feel that people who do not have dreams could also be described as people who do not have hope, and could also be described as people who do not have meaning in their life. And generally speaking, those people are quite sad. I mean, I don't mean as in, oh my God, you're sad. I mean as in, you know, they cannot find the joy in their life. They would be described as depressed, wouldn't they?
I would agree.
And that's because there's something innately within us that requires us to have some meaning, some purpose. We are not just beasts of burden to be put here and to do stuff for no obvious reason. We have to find meaning in it. And that's why dreams exist. I agree with you that many people don't really analyse their dreams enough and look underneath what the stated I must have or I will have if I wish I could or whatever. Yes. You know, they don't look underneath it and say, why do I want that? What, you know, what is it actually? What's the base? If you listen to people who have studied the law of manifestation, Mike Dooley's a good one on this one. His theory around the laws of manifestation are, yes, don't concentrate on the lack, because the universe can only give you what you're thinking about. Yes. So think about the positive. But he also talks about not being totally tied to the outcomes.
I think that's really helpful.
And if you take off the, as he calls it, the dreaded hows, and think only about the feeling and, you know, the fulfillment that your dream will give you. And that boils down to, in most humanity's case, of I want to find love and happiness.
I would agree. Happiness, freedom, and love. I think when you talk to people, they're the three at the bedrock of dreams.
I think it's harder to say, well, why do you want love? There's just the innate sense of I need to be connected. I need to prove that I'm just not singular. Yeah.
Yes.
So you really get down to a very, very base, but actually very basic, as in, you know, core of us, not as in simplistic. And I think if people did that analysis of their dreams and actually were more mindful of what I'm really seeking when I say I want that big house, is that I want to feel safe and secure.
Yes.
Then the big house may be the way they get it, but actually there could be other manners in which to do it. So dreams are very, very useful, but analysing your dreams and understanding what's driving them it gives them greater depth, and actually may also clarify whether the dream you're up, you know, be careful what you wish for, be careful what you dream for.
I also think it's important to recognise what are your dreams.
Yeah.
Because so many people that I've worked with, that when you talk to them about their dreams, and again, let's clarify, we're not talking about at night the dreams that you have, although they may be included in that. In the context of this, I'm talking about the things that you wish for, the dreams and aspirations, your goals, call them what you will, what you're aiming for. And I think very often children are taught to aim for what their parents tell them is good.
Or what society says is a successful life.
And people lose that sense of passion and purpose around their own dreams. They become completely subverted by other people's dreams. And I think it's really important to give yourself permission to have your own dreams, your own aspirations, and to understand why that's important to you. And if you look at highly successful people, and I've done a lot of research on you know, what makes highly successful people successful and maintain their success, and all of them have a very clear goal or dream or aspiration that they're working towards. And they are they often have no idea in the early stages how they're going to do it. They just know that that's what they're aiming for. And in many ways, that's what I'm doing. I've got my mission to positively impact on 1 million people in the next 5 years through the development of enlightened leadership. And I'm experimenting. You know, I'm asking people to listen and to help. But who knows what will be the way, and the chances are it won't be a way. It could be lots of different ways. Now, why is that important to me? Well, it's important to me because I see so many people struggling. I see so many people who are unhappy and who have no sense of the possibility that the future can bring them when they do have dreams and aspirations. And for me, doing that gives me a real sense of purpose and fulfillment, and through that, a sense of happiness and connection.
And I think if you're going to be a great leader, not necessarily of armies or countries, but just a great leader in whatever meaningful sense is relevant to your life, then you're best off accepting that each and every individual that you meet has their own dreams and their own particular reasons. And yes, it'll probably just boil down to that, you know, basic human need for love, freedom, happiness. But if you take the time to understand that person at the level of what are your dreams, and if you can in any way facilitate those, then A, obviously, you know, you're putting out some fantastic energy into the world, but also you're building a connection with that person that, that no matter what, and I'm not just talking in a monetary sort of manipulative way, no matter what will prove to be a good investment.
I think it's really important, isn't it? And particularly in challenging times, and we do live in challenging times, that people recognize that even when things are really, really dark, really challenging, that having a dream, having the hope that that will bring is really important. And if you can enable other people to believe in themselves and their dreams, I think it's a huge gift. If you can support people to achieve their dreams, then you're right, that connection becomes incredibly rich and strong. But I'd like to spend just a few minutes in thinking with you around how many people limit their dreams by saying it's not possible. You know, that finances, for example, are a really good reason why many people stay in an environment, whether that's work or whether that's personal, that is actually toxic because they believe that they won't survive if they step out of their uncomfortable comfort zone. And in doing so, they limit themselves. Now, I'm not suggesting that you just go off willy-nilly, but with some strategic thinking and some planning, it's perfectly possible to move out of whatever environment it is into something else.
I'm not a big fan of the sort of if you have a dream and you work hard enough, you can achieve it type of X Factor talent show type of, because there are definitely some people who have fixated on a particular dream, an outcome, and have no skills, aptitudes, effort to back it up. And in those instances, these people are not done a service by having their dream sort of, you know, validated. You know, as Simon Cowell sort of listens to them and says, you're not a singer. It's harsh to see, but on the other hand, quite evident to most of the audience that he's quite right. And there's a lot of sort of talk around what, you know, Simon Cowell being harsh for that. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Simon Cowell myself, but you have to hand it to him. He doesn't encourage a false dream in people.
But I think that's when the why becomes important.
Exactly.
So why is it so important? important for that person to stand on their stage and have their 5 minutes of fame or infamy. Exactly. And ultimately, I think it comes down, the likelihood is that they want to be seen, heard, and validated as people.
Yes.
And there are any number of ways to do that. You don't have to stand on a stage and sing in a way that gives everybody earache in order to do that.
You might just want your father to notice you.
Absolutely. It may very well be something that is much more fundamental.
Yes.
But I think it's still important that that person has a dream which is achievable, or at least a goal that people can aspire to and get some way towards.
Yeah, because the flip side of that is somebody, as you said, saying, what's the point? Oh my God, you're never going to do that. And have you thought about all of these things that you're going to have to do? And squashing somebody's hopes and dreams is equally as nasty. As having your dreams overinflated and being told you can do something when clearly you can't. So, you know, it's sort of like Lucifer and the trickster, you know. You've got to be just really careful about and try to do that self-work of why.
Yeah.
Why is this important to me? I mean, I can't answer why writing is important to me. I can't, other than to say, well, I enjoy it. I mean, you know, that's the base level. And if people say to me, if you never sell a book, will you still write? And my answer is, if I have a particular person in my life available to read my stories, then I'm very happy to write them.
But you see, it's interesting you say that you don't know why you write. When you talk about writing, you light up.
Sure. And that's my point. That is my point, because I can't give a justification for it other than to say, well, I just like it.
It's more than like. It fills you up. It gives you a sense of being, of happiness, of fulfilment.
Yeah, but I haven't stopped at the level of saying, I want to write because I want to be famous.
No.
Yeah, I want to write because I want a legacy. You know, these are all parts of layers of it. Yes. There's a possibility.
And we're not saying that those are wrong.
No, no, no.
But actually, they're incomplete.
Because actually the act of writing is a very simplistic one. Yeah, yeah. It's very close to my soul core. Yeah?
Yeah.
And actually a lot of dreams can push forth and become big, big things.
Yeah.
Yes. People can become massively famous and well known for the skills that they've developed by following a dream. But most of the artists that I have studied didn't start with that as the end point. They started because they wanted to be in the moment of that feeling of being close to their purpose, their soul purpose.
And I think that's one of the issues that lots of people, particularly youngsters, will talk about. I want to be famous.
Yeah.
They don't care what the famous for.
And when you say why, they can't answer it.
And I believe that comes down to they need to feel that they have a value, that they need to feel important. And for them, it has to be on a big scale in order for it to be meaningful to them.
Yeah.
Because they feel they don't have that self-confidence.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've talked about my mission and it's to reach many people. But ultimately, I get huge satisfaction if I can help one person. And ultimately, you can only help one person at a time.
Yeah.
And I'm reminded of the old African adage, which says, you know, if you think your efforts are too small, and unimportant, think about the impact a mosquito has when it's trapped in the room with you at night.
Yeah.
And so I would say to people listening to this, you know, dare to dream.
Oh.
You know, have high aspirations. Don't be completely wedded to it being in a particular shape.
Mm-hmm.
Be open to the possibility that it could take any number of forms. But give yourself permission to move forward. Give yourself permission to believe in yourself in whatever you do. And in that belief of yourself, you will find your way. And that's the place to start if you're struggling with your dreams and aspirations.
Yeah.
For me, it always starts with us. Yeah. And that's true of if we want to make our dreams happen, it's not going to be down to somebody else.
Yeah.
If we want to be a great leader, then we have to start by leading ourselves. We're the common denominator in our lives, aren't we?
Mm.
So it makes sense to make the most of us. So we'd love to know what you think. We'd love you to share your dreams, and you can share those either on the Genuinely You Facebook page, come and join the group, it's free, or email us at gina@genuinely-you.com and let us know what your dreams are. It'd be also interesting to know what themes would you like us to cover in our genuine chats. Now, as we leave you this week, I just want to share with you that if you want a great novel, Rachel's writing, it really is worth reading, spiritual novels, The Point of Me and The Truth of Her. And I've got lots of self-help books, the latest one, Thriving Not Surviving, The Five Secret Pathways to Happiness, Success and Fulfillment, that gives you lots and lots of help in terms of having that self-belief and being able to dare to dream. And you'll find the details on the show notes. But thanks very much for joining us. All our books are on Amazon. They're also on the website, genuinely-you.com. And we look forward to seeing you on the next show. Take care now. Bye-bye.